I was just filled by the love of God in my heart, and I couldn't stop weeping. And I didn't understand what's happening to me. And I couldn't even stand. I was on the floor and I was weeping and weeping. That's around 30 minutes. I was just staying on the floor, shaking, feeling all the heat and this electricity. I was so shocked and I didn't know what's happening, but I was really experiencing something that I never experienced. The love that I can't explain.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. On behalf of Disciple of City, I'm Todd Carlton, and this is the Toddcast. Friends, we have a free resource for you. It's the Every Disciple Sent video series. This has been crafted for your church, organization, small group, or home church to help new believers become disciple-making disciples. You can find this and so much more on our website at discipleofcity.ca. Follow Disciple of City on Facebook and follow this podcast on Instagram at the Toddcast _DAC. Friends, would you like to be encouraged every day? Have a place to post great encounters you're having with people? Share testimonies, stories of prayer and baptism? Download the United Hive app. This app is being used all over the world to share all these stories. Recently updated with far more user-friendly flow and the ability to share video and pictures, the United Hive is being used all over the world to encourage the body and help to spur revival. Download the United Hive app today. We are going right around the world and into tomorrow for this episode. My guests today from Japan have started a ministry called Awakening Asia, a school called Awakening Asia School of Ministry. They are pioneers for their generation. He is the founder and senior pastor of Awakening Tokyo. Please welcome Masa and Esther Morishita. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, thank you for this invitation.
Yes.
Yes, thank you for coming on. I'm glad to have you guys here. Did I get the last name? Did I nail it?
Yes, absolutely.
Amen. All right.
Yes.
That's awesome. Yeah, well, I appreciate connecting with you guys. I know you guys have been really busy and traveling recently to Hong Kong, and with the time change and stuff, it's been difficult, but hey, we finally made it happen. It's really nice to meet you.
Yes,
likewise.
We're very excited.
Awesome. So you guys are you actually living in Tokyo right now?
Yes.
Yes, we live in Tokyo. And my name is Masa, and this is my wife, Esther. We're the senior pastors of Awakening Tokyo. We started this church 5 years ago. I'm originally from Japan. But my wife is actually from mainland China. We met in California in the ministry school. And then, yeah, after we graduated school, we came together. And then God just called us for the harvest in Asia.
Yes.
We moved back to Japan, and now here we are.
Awesome. Whereabouts in China are you from?
Oh, I'm from Guangzhou. So the English name is called Canton. So it's a city next to Hong Kong.
Okay.
Yes.
So what is the climate like for Christianity in Japan? Or what was it like when you were growing up?
For me, right?
Yeah.
Well, I've never heard anything about Jesus or the gospel. I've never met any Christians. Maybe I met like one or two Catholics in my life. Maybe that's all. Yeah. It's like being Christian is not really common here. It's only in the statistics, there's only 1% Christians in this country. So that's including every kind of denominations and the Christian cults. So it doesn't really count. So it's going to be less than 1% actually. Yeah, it's very hard for you to find a Christian.
So what is your testimony? What led you to Jesus then in a country with less than 1%?
So before I went to America for my study in the ministry school, that was the age when I was 20. And actually, when I went to America, that was just the timing. I just got saved. I got saved and immediately I went to America for the ministry school to study and get trained, equipped to know more about God and to be prepared for the great harvest. to go a little bit past from that, I used to be an atheist. My family was an atheist. No one was a believer. My mom was the first believer in my family. But I didn't care about anything about religion. My mom was just, you know, someone evangelized to her. And then, you know, she was just very quick, just out of sudden, she became a believer. And she became a really passionate believer, on fire every day at home, praying tongues, you know, singing aloud and stuff. And then my house was, you know, it was not the big house. It was a smaller house. I could hear just literally everything that she's praying out loud and singing out loud. And then she was, every day I remember, she was praying for my salvation. And she was praying that, she was praying for God that God's going to use my life or whatever, you know, make me a pastor, whatever. And I was like so annoyed. I remember still, you know, so I was not a believer. You know, I didn't care about religion. And I believe that's the average of Japanese. And then that was around the time when I was in high school, And then my father was one part of the gang member. And he got arrested and stuff. And it was very messy. And I thought maybe this is the reason my mom is heartbroken. She needs a religion to comfort her, you know, her life. So I thought maybe it's good for her, but I don't need it. You know, I didn't feel my heart was so broken that I needed religion, you know, or anything. I didn't need a crutch for my heart. Yeah. And then I graduated high school. I thought I wanted to, you know, find a good job so I can earn good money and have a good life. Basically, that's how I've been, that's, you know, what Asian culture has been teaching people. And also in Japan or in my family, also the same, you know, they have been telling me to study hard so that I can find a good job. And then, so, you know, I don't need to strive hard like the rest of, you know, the lower class of people in the society, that they're working hard, they don't earn any money, they don't have even time to sleep or time to spend time with their family. And then that is a real, you know, serious issue in this country. Like, there are many families out there that they don't really have time to spend family, or, you know, they're just really like work slave, you know, slave of the works. And then, yeah, that's why I think, you know, my parents and, you know, just in general, this society has been teaching me to study hard and get a good job. So my plan was to work in the bank, you know? So during my high school time, I studied hard. But long story short, I failed the exam. So I didn't know what to do after. I was like, okay, my plan is all, you know, went back to the white paper. I was having the plan to go to this university and graduate and work in the bank, but now everything's gone because I couldn't make it to the, you know, university. So now I don't know what to do. Then my friend actually asked me if I want some quick money. And I say, yeah, sure. I thought money is everything. I thought money is the most important thing in our life. In order for us to have a good life and in order for us to take care of the family and the people that we love. Yeah, so that was the value that I had. And then, actually, he recruited me. This friend recruited me to join the fraud business. He was a fraud. And then basically, from that day, I became a con man. So I was doing the criminal business from there when I was 18, after I graduated high school, all the way up to when I was 20, when I met Jesus. So yeah, so when I was doing the fraud, of course, I don't care about God or anything. You know, my mom was already a believer. She was every day praying for me. I didn't tell my family anything about what I was doing, of course. Yeah, just every day, you know, just going after money, just meeting people, lying, and then cheating, you know, just selling some fake things, you know, and just getting the money. I just ask them to sign contract, this kind of stuff. So every day thinking how I can get more money, how I can cheat more money. So this was me. And without touching the law, without getting into trouble with the police. So I was just trying to go the gray zone. But actually it was totally, you know, bad and illegal what I was doing. Yeah, that was my life. I was going after money, but my heart was so insecure, of course, because I was putting my trust in the money and in myself. I thought basically money and myself was the idol for my life. I thought that was my God. I was worshiping money. I was worshiping myself. And then my heart started to feel empty also, and I feel insecure. And as I was just continuing my business in this area, maybe I earned some money, but the money will come and go. I earned quick money, but this the money I earned quickly also goes quickly. Yeah, because the group of people that I hang out with, they're really wasting a lot of money, in the clubs and drinkings and etc. Those places, in the city in the night. I usually remember those times. I just go to drinking until the morning. I'm come back drunk. Just throwing up on the street and the things. It was full of cigarette smell, and my family was so concerned about me. So that was my life, and I was so broken. But I didn't think about God at all. When my mom first became Christian, she tried to bring me to the church, but I was not interested. I went a few times, actually, but I didn't find anything attractive. I didn't find God. I didn't feel anything. I didn't see anything. So I was like, this is not for me. I feel like this is wasting time. In Tokyo, I live in Tokyo. In Tokyo, there's not many churches around here. So in order for me to go to that church, it took 1 hour one way by train. So it was like just totally nonsense for me. I was wasting time, wasting money, wasting everything. I don't want to even be there, go there. It's just too much sacrifice for me. I didn't want. So I just stopped going from there. And then, so I didn't care about God. But when I was 20, long story short, I met the American missionary, and this American missionary said she wanted to pray for me. And I was like, yeah, I met many Christians in the church. My mom is a Christian. She pray for me. Like, you want to pray for me? Go ahead. As long as you don't take my money, it's fine. And when she prayed for me, long story short, I got delivered on the spot. I was just filled by the love of God in my heart, and I couldn't stop weeping. And I didn't understand what's happening to me. And I couldn't even stand. I was on the floor and I was weeping and weeping. That's around 30 minutes. I was just staying on the floor, shaking, feeling all the heat and this electricity. I was so shocked and I didn't know what's happening, but I was really experiencing something that I never experienced. The love that I can't explain.
Come on.
The love I couldn't experience from any people or, by anything. I couldn't, even not from my parents or from friends. No, it's just something very godly, divine love that was really filling my heart. And then since that day, my heart has changed. And then after that, usually maybe a lot of people will come to Christ, but I was very stubborn. Maybe, I woke up straight back to the business. I just keep cheating and lying and then drinking until the morning and stuff. And I was still living an empty life, but my heart was starting to think more about God. That experience really marked my life, and I was starting to think more about God.
Did you tell your mom about that experience?
Yes, of course.
Like right away or later?
Right away, yes, right away. She was very happy, of course. She was very happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but my heart was shifted, and started to feel a lot of emptiness towards the things that I was doing. And then those times, God was really chasing after me, sending me, long story short, 5 different strangers at a different timing, different place. I don't know them at all. So random places just started to find me, talk to me, and telling me that God wants to use my life for the great harvest in Asia. As one of the leader. And actually, when I was encountering God on the floor, when I met God first time, that is the voice I heard from God as well. So I was like, something's happening. Something's weird. And after 5th person coming to me, I was too terrified. I was like, okay, I feel like I felt the fear of the Lord. The Lord, the God I don't see, but he sees me and he's chasing after me and he's calling me. And I was like, surrender. right away. Say, God, if you're real now, I know you don't need to do this anymore. You don't need to chase me anymore. I surrender everything. Now you can use my rest of my life. Yeah. So that's long story short, my story. And right after that, I went to the ministry school in America, and this is where I met my wife.
So
she's awesome, powerful.
I suspect that when that first started to happen to you, being an atheist and involved in fraud and stuff, you probably didn't even know what harvest meant, I would guess, right? Want to use you for the harvest of Asia.
No, exactly, really knowing what I mean, you know. I even thought that's wrong person.
Yeah.
With boys. It didn't make sense to me at all. Like,
so
how am I gonna lead the people?
Yeah.
Church, you know, when I'm doing a fraud and the criminal business. Yeah.
So Esther, at this time you're living in China. So like within Hong Kong, like out on the outskirts of Hong Kong, or what was that like for you? What was Christianity like growing up in the area that you lived in?
Oh, okay. So my area is still considered mainland. So it's still different from Hong Kong.
Okay.
Still speak the same Cantonese. We eat dim sum, like all those culture is the same. But then the openness for that time missionary to come in or any foreigners to come in was hard. Like actually that time my families, they are actually working for government. So we are pretty, like we say, pretty red. Like we are very red, means we work for the government, we work for the army. So my grandfather and my mom and my uncles, they all like in that sphere. So it's really hard for a foreigner or looking, you know, like missionaries to come close to my family.
So Hong Kong would be more open for stuff, but mainland China, not so much.
Not so much that time, like because that was still back in the 90s. So China still like trying out to open up that time, but still like Hong Kong returned to China back in 1997. So still like the beginning of 90s, it's like still very like reserved. And, you know, they have the closure among the world, like against the world or something, like for many years, like 40 years ish, you know, like they have a closure time, like they don't want to open the border, and it's harder for people to go in unless you have a proper job or someone guaranteeing you or something. Yeah. So
how did you encounter Jesus? What is your story then?
Oh, wow. That's actually a very supernatural experience.
Amen. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, just because God himself encountered me, like it's so supernatural. I thank maybe all the people are praying for China that time or something. I just like one day went to nursery school. I saw a car accident. Somebody died there. So I suddenly had a feeling like, wow, human one day will die. Then where does this person go after he died? You know, because it was so shocked to me when I was six that time. So I saw this accident. Then it just shook my heart. Like I keep thinking, like, if there is a life and death experience, then if there is a flesh and spirit, or is there someone that is the ultimate God? You know, because sometimes Chinese, they believe different things. They worship ancestors, they worship the Taoism, Buddhist, and they have so many different rituals, yeah, like that time in China. But then they just don't really have church. Like that we know of as a common people, you know, like then we just don't know like underground churches that time, you know? So then we didn't never encounter any Christians by any chance in a daily life setting. So then during this kind of accident case, I keep thinking about, so who will be the ultimate God then? Because they all speak the different things. They all believe in different values. So who is the boss, let's say, to gather all the, like final say or something, So who is the ultimate God? That time I was thinking. Then the next day I got a supernatural visitation from Jesus. Like actually at that time I didn't know he is the Jesus himself, but I got taken to the heaven. I went through all the clouds and I saw open heaven,
Wow.
that a man dressed in white with all the lights that shining through him and from him is coming towards me. That moment he extended his hand. He said, "Come, let me show you how you were born." And then I was like, "Wow." That moment, my heart just like, yes, I would take it. I don't know who you are, but I don't know. I just cannot help myself to come close to him. And then I just felt like, that verse, every tongue will confess, every knee will bow. And then my hand just extended to him and I look into his face and his eyes and it's like filled with all the lights and shining bright lights. And it's like liquid love, like waterfall, like rushing to me. I never felt that love before, and it's greater than any love I could receive on earth. And then that moment, all the chains of fear just broken away. And then I was so shocked with this experience, because it's something out of my mind, out of like what the storytelling says. And then I came back to my real life. I woke up and then I ran into my mom's room because I heard an audible voice as well after the dream. He said, Esther, like that time I didn't call Esther, but he called my Chinese nickname. Only my family knows. He said,
Which is
it's Wei
Aster?
Wei. No, Wei Wei. It means rose, like Wei Wei, let me tell, you will be involved in my kingdom. You will do something great for my kingdom in the future.
Wow.
So I was like, kingdom? What? What do you mean? I was like, okay, but I felt that loving kind, like male, like kind of like a fatherly voice. That is so audible. So, and then I'm like, whoa, who is speaking? I was looking around, no one is there. And I ran into my mom's room. I woke her up from her nap. I said, "Mom, I saw heaven. I went through the clouds. I saw someone with white dress, white robe, coming to me." And I told her everything, including that voice. And you know what she said? She said in Chinese, she said, "You must met Shang Di," which means the God above all gods.
Wow.
So that moment, I'm like, whoa, like the same, like what? I still shocking, and she felt like maybe she should raise me in a certain way then, like she will allow me to do things that maybe I feel that's important. So she gave me quite more freedom that time since then.
How old were you when that happened?
When I was 6 or 7 years old, like very small, like before primary school.
And so when your mom said that to you,
Yes.
would if the culture was different gods and different things, but no actual church and nobody really met or talked to a Christian, how would like where do you think that came from for her? Or is there sort of a desire or knowledge that there is a God
Yeah,
above all
like.
gods?
Yeah, she might feel like that is the ultimate, because I said it does not look like Buddha, it does not look like Kuan Yin, it does not look like any ancestor, so she not animal faces, so it just delete all these options, so she could already know a little bit from her university, that different religions in the world or something. I don't know about that. But she just said something like could be the God among like above all gods, the ultimate person.
So how did that change your, did that change her?
I mean that actually hit a seed inside of her heart at that moment actually. Because she never mentioned any religion to me, right? So it's really hard for her to know how I could know all these things just during a lunch time, you know? So she felt like, wow, maybe it's something divine, you know? So after that, long story short, like I went to boarding school during middle school, right? And then I got into a slight depression, like a slightly depression. And then I couldn't have facial expression for 3 months. I try everything. I try like the psychologist or medicine. It does not work. And then I thought of this dream like that I had when I was six. So I call like, I like Shandi, like that God, right? Like Shandi, help me, you know? And that moment, I felt a supernatural force of power came into my heart. And I felt like my heart once was so dry and it suddenly got filled up. And then all the tears like just came out from my eyes. I could laugh again. I could smile again, you know? Like I got broken off those depression. So then I knew that that's something I need to seek. You know, like I knew something like a clues, you know, like little pixels, like for me to seek after him, you know, but I didn't know who he is that time. I still don't know his real name, you know. So then I went to a university in London that time. Actually, I was studying in the best fashion school in London in the UK. I think that time the world, you know, like I think still the top one or two fashion school. I went into the fashion school. I was like aiming high for my career, like you know, future that time. And I was thinking like to just have my personal fashion brand that time. And then guess what? Like my good friends from Singapore and Japan that time, they happened to be Christians and they just took me to church. And then things happened. Like I was like reading, like they were giving me like the Bible. And then don't know why I went to the church, I start crying. Like it has no words, but I just felt that this is something that the love that couldn't be expressed by words that moment. And I was just crying and then keep crying every time I went there. I cried and then I went to like open the Bible. It was in Matthew, like the Jesus Transfiguration on the Mount. And that moment and that particular moment that how Jesus revealed himself with the man dressed in white robe with all the lights shining. And that moment, all my pieces of memories came back.
Wow.
It linked up. And then I was like, wow, so your name is Jesus. You know, like, I felt like that my spiritual eyes got opened up finally. So even though that time I got into Burberry, I was working as well for Burberry. But then I really wanted to seek after him more. I went to Alpha course. I finished Alpha course. I got planted like in that church, like the British church. But then I felt there will be something more. So God just talked to me, lay down everything.
Wow.
Lay down everything, Esther. Lay down everything. Go back to China, receive your calling. So I need to quit all my job, all my friends there, everything. Say bye to London for which I love so much, the city that for I lived there for 5 years, like most important defining years from 18 to 23, you know, those time that I need to say all goodbye, you know, like all my church friends and everything, and went back to China. And then long story short, in China, I got another out-of-body experience. Like I went to my future. I was seeking, like, what's my destiny? Like, what's the calling, God? You want me to come back? I come back. So now what, you know? So that I keep praying and fasting. And then one day, like, I just during one prayer, I went into like a future. Like, I don't know. I kept like out of my body that moment, my spirit. I went to my future, went through the time. internal thing. And then I saw an open stadium. I saw an open stadium with all the people, like filled with the stadium and with the lights, like the sticking glow lights, waiting it with anticipation. And then that moment, the light shine on, and me and my worship team releasing songs, prophetic songs, worship songs. And that moment, a lot of people got baptized by the Holy Spirit. And they also like looked into the air, felt like worshiping Jesus, you know, like seeing Jesus, the glory of God. And that particular event got broadcasting through the media to every family's monitor. And it seems like a great harvest starting.
Wow.
Yes. So I felt that place is in Asia that moment, you know, like I didn't know where exactly, but I saw a lot of Asians, you know, in the stadium, but of course other skin tones as well. So I just like, wow, like I just feel like maybe I got called to really need to get equipped then. That's how I went to the same school that Masa went, like together afterwards.
So how did you guys at this time, how did you guys hear about Bethel? I mean, I know Bethel's really huge and everything, but how do you, in a, you know, in your countries where you never met Christians and stuff, how did you hear about Bethel? Or did you just discover it as you started to pursue and learn more for the Lord?
From my side of the story, I didn't know what to do. And same as Esther's story, I also knew I need to get trained and equipped. I didn't know what to do. One day I was praying at home, and then God spoke to me audibly. He told me to get prepared for the great harvest. Prepare yourself for the great harvest, is what he said. So I thought, okay, maybe Bible college. I opened my laptop, I searched. In Japan and overseas, there are like hundreds, thousands, and over that, and so many countless Bible schools. You know, I spoke some English, was not fluent, but yeah, I spoke some English. So I was thinking could be overseas because Japan is not a Christian country. It's maybe not the best place to learn about God. You know, I was just looking for different possibilities, but there's too many options when I search on Google. And that, okay, you know, I didn't know which is which. I didn't know anything about denominations, or, you know, I had no idea about anything about the church. What's the difference? What are those names? You know, so, and it was better if I had someone that I could talk to and to get that advice, but I had no one at the time. No one knew it. My mom even, of course, doesn't know anything about Bible school or anything. So yeah, I didn't know. So I just closed my laptop. I talked to God. So God, if you really want me to go, then you're the one. You're gonna have to give me clearly which one to go to. And one day, my mom bought me a book, just randomly from the bookstore, and then that was a book from that school actually. And when I was reading the book, I had no expectation. I was just reading it to learn about God, you know. But it's like, this is, you know, as I read the testimonies and the stories, was really eye-opening. I was like, wow, this is the God that I experienced. This is a God I want to learn, you know, more. It's a God of the Bible I want to experience, you know. I want to know him in person, you know. And I was just getting stirred and hunger, you know. And then there's one of the pages I saw towards the end. He said they have a school which is a BSSM. And that's when I thought, okay, maybe this must be it. But I didn't know yet. I searched on the computer and getting to know more about them. And then, yeah, it was more and more making sense. Like, you spoke to my spirit. Yeah. And then, although there were a lot of obstacles for me to apply for school because of maybe my English was not good enough. I was just a new convert. I didn't know any pastor or no much Christian friend who can give me a reference, which all of this that they require from me to apply. I didn't have none of those. So, but I was like, you know, if this is God, you're gonna make a way. And then, yeah, just long story short, God really opened the door and just really brought me through. Yeah, this was my story.
What about you, Esther, for discovering Bethel?
Yeah, like maybe that time I was like following a Christian artist like in Hong Kong. I think she's quite influential with like songs and things. And one day she was reading a book, like it was called Supernatural Ways of Royalty. And then I didn't know, like I was like seeking for where to get equipped as well as master. So I was like seeking for more resources online, you know, because it's so hard to find these schools, especially it's definitely not Europe, then not Asia, then where, you know, like then where I can find it. Then I saw this artist reading that book one time. I don't know why it just when I read that title, like Supernatural Ways of Royalty, like it woke something up in my heart. And then I just like, okay, I'll book the same book then. Like then I read that books and they also talk about like they have a ministry school in America, da, 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 da. But then I did not like search more about that school that time. But then one day, actually, I went to a prayer house first, like in America, in Kansas City that time. And then I had a dream at night. I just when I woke up, I heard that voice saying Bethel. And then I like, oh, Bethel. So I search on Google, I type Bethel, and it came up Brian Johnson and Jen Johnson singing like video clips. And I'm like, whoa, something like caught my eyes so much. And I felt such a power from that. And then I'm like, okay, I need to visit this school. Visit this place, and then we went to the healing room with my mom, I think that time. By the way, when my mom became Christian
Amen.
afterwards,
Amen.
like after I became Christian, I came back, and then she also became a Christian
That's
afterwards.
awesome.
Yeah, but then me and her went to visit Bethel, and then not even went into the healing room yet, and I just got touched by the Holy Spirit and crying again, like I felt such a strong father's love. And I felt like, wow, really need to know our identity. Yeah, so that's why.
That's amazing. Did you guys meet Bill Johnson?
Yes, because we don't have like close relationship in person, something no.
Yes,
But
yes.
you met him, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm so jealous. I never have.
You
My
come to visit.
I aspire to go down there too and just experience that.
Oh, yeah,
My buddy Adam in the ministry said if I went there, I would just be on my face the whole time. So
definitely.
good. So you went and did you and that's where you met. You guys met at Bethel.
Yeah.
And so just felt a connection. And then how did you guys get connected when your time was finished at Bethel and you went back to China, you went back to Japan? How did you guys just like get your contacts and it just sort of blossomed from there?
Basically, yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
Good
Well,
guess.
we're a good friend. We're a good friend, and we just thought, you know, we maybe can really work together for the harvest in Asia because both of us had a strong call from God for Asia, and we have a similar experience testimony also. We just felt something very special. Well, we didn't think anything further, of course. By the way, we are also 5 years. Having the 5 years difference gap in our age. So like, you know, we didn't really consider so deep. We're just thinking we're just a really good friend. And then after graduation, actually we did a mission trip. Esther invited me for the mission trip. And then, you know, in China. And then yeah, we went together. And then during that time, we spent more time, and then that was the time our relationship got more developed. And then a lot of people were starting to say, you know, if you are something, if you are a couple or, you know, something, there's just new people that we meet that just keep telling us that if we are a couple or whatever. And then we're like, we're not. Yeah. Yeah. So, And there was too many people telling us at that time. So we were just thinking, maybe this is something we need to really talk through. And then we maybe we are thinking we are friends, but we appear to be more than friends. So then maybe we have to do that, some defining of the relationship. So that's when we did 1 month of the process through the online after the trip. And then yeah, that's the time. Like every day we had a phone call and then, just some time to talk, to spend time and then ask questions intentionally. And after 1 month, yeah, we are very clear actually. Yeah, why not? It seems like we are more than a friend. And then we went into a relationship and very soon after that, we got married.
That's awesome. That's so good. So you guys get married and then birthed Awakening Asia, birthed that ministry.
In between, actually, 5 days after our wedding in the 2018, so basically in the 2019, in the beginning, the year, January, in the beginning, we flew over to Germany. Yeah,
Awakening
to
Europe.
exactly,
Yes.
exactly. So that's where we were.
So, did you go and attend an event or did you go and participate with that ministry?
That was my internship, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, you interned with Ben Fitzgerald.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
And awesome.
then just right before that we got married,
Yeah.
we didn't know, before so much because it was just really everything last minute. Yeah, but we got married, so we just now two of us, intern together.
Yeah,
Yeah.
powerful. So I met him when we were in Australia with our ministry.
Oh,
Yeah.
wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
So our
Yeah.
ministry leader, Adam and Ben, are friends. I've met Ben, but we're not, I don't know him personally, like you said, like you and Bill and stuff, but that would be very powerful. I went to an Awakening Europe event in Scandinavia, in Sweden.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Oh, that time, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that was really life-changing for me. So how long did you intern with
Okay.
Awakening Europe?
6 months.
6 months.
So it was a very smooth transition for us. We were there. As we arrived there, we didn't expect anything, but God was already starting to talk to us to go back to Asia.
Yes.
And then Ben Fitzgerald himself, our leader, even feeling the confirmation from God for us to go back to Japan and plant church.
Yeah.
God spoke to us. Tokyo, Japan is going to be a breakpoint for the Great Harvest in Asia.
Yes.
And then, okay, we had no idea. I didn't. Japan was the last place that I wanted to go. I was like, God, you can send me anywhere except for Japan. If that's Japan, not Tokyo, is what I say. Yeah, but yeah, here we are, after 6 months, there's so many confirmations, signs from God, and just we couldn't deny anymore. We said, okay, this is too clear. We have to move. And then we brought suitcase and then we moved back after 6 months.
Yes.
And this is our starting of the awakening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now you have a school too. You're running a school. Actually, you're running a school as we speak right now, right? You guys are on your lunch break for the school.
Yes.
And how many students do you have in your school right at this moment?
We have 14 students,
Awesome.
and 12 of them are the local Japanese, and two are the internationals from Switzerland and America.
Now, when you guys were just in Hong Kong, was that with this group? You took this group to Hong Kong?
Oh,
Yes,
yes.
it was an amazing
It's
trip.
our final like overseas mission trip, like once a year, that kind of thing. And then we bring our students and our missionary team together.
Yeah. And
Yeah.
how long were you guys in Hong Kong?
10 days for 10 days. Yeah.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
was following you along on that trip on the social media.
Yeah, it's so powerful. Our students
Wow, they nail it. They
very
nail it.
kingdom.
Yes.
Yeah, we are very excited to see how God is using our students, also including really new believers. Like someone just got saved and within a few months attending the school.
Yes.
Actually, we have two new converts. Like still now, less than a year, being Christian for less than a year, and
Yeah.
they're really on fire.
And they just came to school.
So leading people to
Yeah.
Jesus on the street, they're Japanese. It's really, really exciting.
So how open are the Japanese people as you go and evangelize in Tokyo? And do you do, I guess, you, like I've seen it on social media, so you do different things, right? You go and preach on the street, but you also obviously have personal encounters. How open are people to receive prayer and talk about it?
Well, actually, they are quite open right now, like very open. Like, if you just go like very loving and humble, you know, like just friendly and talking to them. And mostly they will reply you, you know, when you say Jesus loves you, you know, then they starting up the topic, you know, like, do you have faith, or, you know, like just like very genuine questions. And mostly they will stop and answer you. Of course, maybe because I'm foreigner, like I speak English, maybe they try to like help out the foreigners. I got a foreigner grace, maybe. Like, but then, but actually our students, they're really like open air preaching, you know. They're Japanese themselves, and while they're preaching, people are stopping, and then after the preach, like we all have groups to talk to them, and they all like having very good like pockets of conversations and context exchange. And then, and we have another outlet, is like our cafe that we do a cafe in our church. We run that cafe from Wednesday to Saturday, like only 4 hours a day, like 1:30 to 5 p.m. Then, but many people like from the neighborhood here, they came. They just find us on Google Map, and they just came.
Is that Up to You Coffee?
It's not. It's called Awakening Cafe Tokyo.
Okay. I hear you guys like Up to You Coffee.
Yeah. And we love that too. Yeah. So we also are just even got featured on the Tokyo Weekender. Like, we didn't even know, like, but they came to say that the 12 or 15 new opening cafe in Tokyo or something. Come and check it out, you know. So I'm like, wow, God keep bringing people and opening doors. And some people, they came and 4 people believed Jesus through the cafe.
Wow. So amen.
It was amazing. Like, so we have the public preaching, we have one-on-one, we have alpha course running, and we also have cafe. So it's like all different ways to reach the lost here.
What about, so you went to Hong Kong. Have you guys been into mainland China?
Only Masa and I, yeah.
Yeah. And what is that like? Are people open there? Do you have to be more quiet about it, or what is the climate like? I guess it depends where you are. Or
I think in general we can talk about that place here, but we cannot talk about that thing in China. You know,
right.
Like, because right now it's quite tight and sensitive, and a lot of underground churches being shut down. Or checked or hacked, like, I don't know, like just got invited to the police office, the pastors, and then but right now we went to Shanghai. We went to Shanghai, and there were some like disciples there, like some.
Yeah. Do a lot of people have dreams like you have in China and Japan, would you say? Are people seeing visions of Jesus? You know how you hear in the Muslim world that people see crazy visions of Jesus and stuff? Do you find, is it a little bit similar in China and Japan at all that you know of?
Not that I know for Japan.
Not that I know from China.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
maybe I don't know if Brother Yun, like, I don't know if he's experienced something similar when he got saved, but yeah.
Hey, I met him.
Yeah.
I got to hug Brother Yun. That was awesome.
Jesus, I knee, right? Like the eye and the knee.
Yeah. So then you had a very unique experience, or perhaps there are people and just haven't. I mean,
yeah,
what
we
do
have
you...
a bad someone. Yeah, yeah, that is like, yeah.
So what about your families? So you said your mom, Esther, came to faith. What about the rest of your family?
Oh, right. They are still on the process, because they were really like red. Yeah. And then like when we talk about Jesus with them, right now I'm working on with my cousin and my father. Yeah. So that I pray for their next salvation. Yeah.
And what about
It's
you, Massa? What about your family?
family all saved here.
Yeah.
So I was the last one.
Amen. You were the last one.
Oh, yes.
The atheist.
The
See, that's
atheist.
what that really caught my attention on the Instagram. Atheist
Oh.
and fraud. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta
Yeah.
connect with this. I love it.
Not for changing me here.
It really speaks to the power of prayer. Hey, that your mom prayed and spoke over your life that you would be a pastor. And you know what's interesting too is despite the difference of cultures around the world, there is always seemingly in a lot of cultures that drive for money and that drive for blowing money in clubs and with alcohol. Like whether it's North America or obviously Japan for you, like totally completely different cultures, yet that part of the enemy trying to draw us in and crush us is the same. Hey. Yeah.
Got moving. Yes.
So what's next? What's next for you guys? You have this class that you're, I guess this is finishing up now. Is there another group starting or what's next for you guys in the next little while?
School's graduating in the April, end of the April. But now we are opening application for the next year, which will start August, 1st of August, actually. And already 9 students, if I'm correct, applying from all over the places, including Japan. I'm not very sure which countries they're applying from, but I got, oh yeah, they're from all over the world, actually, including some Asian country as well. So it's very encouraging to
To
see,
see.
actually, yes.
Nice. Do you guys have a building or where what do you have? What's your facility like for the school?
Cafe space, basically.
We have the 2 floors, fourth and fifth, and it's around 70 square meters, 1 floor. And then we renovated that place. It's located in the quite central of Tokyo. It's called Ueno, this place. It's near the park, the zoo, everything is quite chill here. And also, so quick to go to Shibuya. So we are so blessed to really got given this place here in Tokyo.
So where do the students stay in that space?
Stay? No, they stay in share houses.
Okay. And how does that work for them? Do they have to find those spaces or is that part of you guys put them in places? That's part of the enrollment. How does that work?
I think right now we will help to find, like we will help to find those places, and then we also planning and praying for maybe buying our own apartments, like so that like the church owned apartments, so then that's foreign students or other cities of Japan, people coming to here to study, they can have a short stays, like 8 months, the school year finish in 8 months. So then they can stay there. And then we have second year as well. If they wanted to go into the planting season, that was the second year. But then like we will send them to plant churches. So we will send them to do something like pioneering for the second year. So then first year we will guaranteeing their places. Second year is more like it depends where God call you, and so it's like that.
So not only are you guys teaching people to evangelize and share their faith, but you're empowering them to plant churches as well when they go home. Revival. Amen. That's so good. That's so good. So, you have Awakening Asia on Facebook. Masa.Morisha on Instagram.
That's mine.
What else for social media that we can put out there for you to help advertise you guys?
Oh,
My wife's
and
one.
also my Instagram is called Beloved Esther Molly. Mori, yeah, beloved Esther Mori.
And now
And you can
the
also promote our cafe as well, Awakening Cafe Tokyo. Yeah.
Awakening Cafe Tokyo.
Tokyo, yeah. And you do know our Awakening Asia Instagram, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes.
We'll put all that in the description for the podcast as well.
Thank you.
Your website though on the Facebook, Massa on the Facebook, it's like a million letters.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, so actually we'll talk about it after. We'll talk about it after, but we'll get all that stuff on for you guys. And yes, we just want to pray for you guys in your school that people will come and then this will grow and pray for revival in Asia.
Yes.
Even this show is people, I don't know how, because we're just in a little town in Ontario, Canada, but we have listeners in Hong Kong somehow, Taiwan.
That's amazing.
Yeah, nothing in Japan yet,
Wow.
but hey. After this,
Yeah. 100%. Oh,
yeah,
yes.
100%. Guys, thank you so much for taking some time to be with us on the show. Your stories, both of your stories, are absolutely mind-blowing, and just speaks to the power of God and a God that pursues, the opposite of religion, not people seeking God, but Him pursuing us, going after His lost children.
That's right.
And even though you have an encounter and you still go and do criminal business and party and everything, he still pursues you
That's
right.
right.
For
Yes.
his glory and his purpose. That's amazing. Amazing. One more question for you guys. In the next year, obviously you want to see revival in Asia, but specifically, where is your heart to see what's going on in Tokyo in the next 12 months?
Yeah, we want to see like real leaders, like real radical lay down lovers of the next generation can be rise up. And then they would take that like ownership, to really like start to cultivate what we already built. Which means could be look like sending them out as missionaries or church planters or I just started to, build communities, healthy communities. And then really like out of that, like it's not from performance, but from overflowing of the God's love that they draw many to Christ.
Yeah, we believe it's a trigger. Our Awakening Asia, our heart and our role is to be that trigger of the movement. This is what we believe. One thing God has spoken to us is He wants to reestablish the foundation for the churches and the Christians. And we believe that's what He's doing. He's reestablishing the pure foundation of the gospel. And then, this is why we are really going after in the school as well, to really set a strong foundation for the believers. Nowadays, people are just going after the giftings, or some people too legalistic, some people too spiritual. It's like just we really need a foundation. We really need a foundation. So that is really something we are going after. We want to really see, like what Esther say, we want to see the leaders being raised up with a strong foundation and a without compromise, loving Jesus and then running, pioneering the gospel in the sphere of the societies that they go to in Japan and beyond, all over Asia. And this will be the movement. God will use the people from Japan or people who are equipped and be sent out from Japan to go from all over the world and to bring the gospel and to change the societies. Yeah, this is what we want to see.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, we pray alongside you guys, and not only for just your family, but for all of Tokyo. Bless you guys.
Thank you. Amen.